prophecies of the cross, the preaching of Christ crucified according to the scriptures, a new book by Pastor Timothy Fan, now available at GodCenteredUniverse.com. That is GodCenteredUniverse.com.
Oh, Sovereign Lord, how we praise you, how our souls praise you, that you are the God who heals the brokenhearted, who binds up their wounds. You alone, O Lord, have set the stars in their places, and you alone know their number and call them by name. Your wisdom, O God, is beyond calculation or comprehension. No one can measure the greatness of your understanding. O Sovereign Lord, you lift up the humble, but you cast down the wicked. Lord, we approach your throne of grace this Lord's Day, desperate for you. And we pray, O God, that you, in your infinite power, would cause your word to run swiftly. O Lord, melt the ice, the frost and the hard ice of unbelief and satanic lies that have frozen the minds and hearts of men. And we pray, O God, that you would cause your word to flow like a mighty river, because it's by your power, O God, you speak. And your word runs swiftly. Oh, Father, we are desperate for you. We are praying that you would abolish abortion in this world. We are praying, oh God, that you would bring an awakening of repentance in the fear of your holy name, to turn the hearts of men back to you before the great and dreadful day of your wrath. O Lord, please send forth your Spirit to illumine hearts and minds to this great doctrine of your wrath. Let it be revealed for the saving of many lives, many souls, unto the glory of the Lamb, unto the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This Lord's Day, Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. This is the word of the Lord. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and we tremble joyfully at it. God is revealing His wrath as a witness against the whole world. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven, such that the whole world is accountable to this revelation. The infinitely loving God expresses His divine benevolent love towards man as the God who is infinitely wrathful towards all of those who would scorn His holy ways, reject His mercy in the gospel of Christ, and thus choose the curses of everlasting destruction rather than the blessings of everlasting life. God is patient and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yet God shall not be mocked. Those who belittle the cross and thus trample upon the blood of the Son of God shall face unceasing wrath on the great day of His wrath. The wicked shall be consumed indeed by the fire of the jealousy of this infinite God of holiness. The gospel of Christ preaches the contrast between the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of wicked men. Romans 1, 17 through 18, "For in it," the gospel of Christ, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.' For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." In the gospel of Christ, God is full of righteousness, even perfect and eternal righteousness, but sinful man is full of unrighteousness. The righteousness of God is thus opposed in divine wrath to the unrighteousness of men. God is righteous, but man is unholy and unrighteous. At the same time, the gospel of our Lord Jesus preaches the harmony between the revelation of the righteousness of God through Christ the Savior and the revelation of the wrath of God through Christ the coming judge over all of the earth. Romans 1, 17 through 18 again, "For in the gospel of Christ the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.' For the wrath of God is revealed." Two revelations, the righteousness of God and the wrath of God, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In the gospel, God reveals His righteousness in the sight of the nations. Yet also in the gospel, God reveals His wrath in front of the whole world. There is then a revelation of saving righteousness along with a revelation of condemning wrath, all in the same gospel. God is righteous, but man is unrighteous. God's righteousness is revealed to save the few who are appointed to eternal life, yet God's wrath is also revealed to condemn the many who are appointed to destruction. Why is it then that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven? The horror of man's unrighteousness demands the wrath of God. For if God is righteous, then the unrighteousness of wicked men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness must be punished under God's wrath. Just as the murderer cannot be confronted by God's justice with a mere monetary fine, so too the idolater or usurper cannot be punished under God's righteousness with a mere slap on the wrist. Instead, when certain men in Israel were found worshiping the molded calf at the foot of Mount Sinai, the Lord's wrath burned hotly against them and was ready to consume them. Also, when Korah, the son of Izhar, with Dathan and Aviram, the sons of Eliab, along with 250 leaders of the congregation of Israel, rose up in insurrection against Moses in order to usurp his God-ordained authority, wrath went out from the Lord God, and a plague struck the people, such that 14,700 of them died, not including those who died with Korah, when the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed Korah and his followers whole. Our praiseworthy God is indeed a God of wrath. He is the one who overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim in his anger and in his wrath. He rebukes the nations of the earth who rage against him by speaking to them in Psalm 2 in his wrath and terrifying them in his burning anger. God is a just judge and is a wrathful God against the wicked every day. He shall make his enemies as a fiery oven in the time of his anger. He shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. The Lord is he who pours out his wrath on the nations that do not know him and on the kingdoms that do not call on his name, as the prophet Nahum says. Nahum 1, 5-6, the mountains quake before him, the hills melt, and the earth heaves at his presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it, who can stand before his wrath? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Man shall not sit in judgment upon God. Rather, God shall sit in judgment upon man. Therefore, he shall gather the nations to his assembly of kingdoms to pour on them his holy wrath, all his fierce anger, such that all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of his jealousy. He shall punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. In doing so, he shall take the heavens and the earth will move, and he shall take the heavens and shake them, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And so we then tremble, because the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his wrath, and his burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is like a devouring fire. He will, in his wrathful judgment, hand the world over to the lie, even to Antichrist, who shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. And oh, how the wrath of God is revealed not only in biblical history, in the sacred pages of the sacred book, but also in all of the signs of its future ferocious fulfillment that we see today. For do we not see the future wrath of God revealed in the sweat and painful toil of a man's work, laboring vainly day and night, but to no meaningful end, since all of his work will perish by moth or by rust or by thieves or by death? Do we not recognize the approaching wrath of God in the woman's pain of childbearing, or else in her monstrous acts of evading childbearing, which lead only to her own torturous guilt and discontent? Is it not seen in godless marriages enacted upon the common and profane principles of the idol of romance, which then are shattered by adultery and divorce? Is not God's coming wrath revealed through a man's godless parenting, which itself produces self-serving children whom he finds in their youthful years to be disobedient, unthankful, and unholy? Again, is not the coming wrath of God being revealed? Is not our world full of economic tremors and earthquakes? Are not our very bodies subject to the signs and precursors of this wrath? The nose runs. The chest coughs. The skin burns and itches. The joints hurt. And the threats of disease multiply. Some nights we must stay awake in wearisome toil, and so we long for sleep. Other nights our bodies thrash and turn, such that we lie down to sleep, but cannot. We bemoan the past. We worry about the future. Then there are the ominous signs of the coming day of wrath built into the creation, as it is now under the curse of sin. Beautiful mountain forests are made frightening by prowling lions. Pristine beaches are infested with bloodthirsty sharks. There are ticks hiding in the long silky grasses of the hills, and poisonous snakes hiding in the golden grasses of the meadows. Also among men, there are wars and rumors of war. In the city, there are child stealers and crazed gunmen. In the nation, there are political upheavals and threats of political persecutions. The weather brings with it burning heat, or else life-threatening cold. There are hurricanes and tornadoes and dangerous prolonged power outages and famines. Yet the greatest wrath is felt in the inner man of the unbeliever. For even after he has gorged on sin to his full appetite for sinful pleasures and made himself as drunk as he can be on all of the flowing wine of his fleshly lusts, he looks in the mirror and finds himself to possess a conscience that torments him, a soul that is loathsomely diseased, even breaking out in putrid sores on account of his pride, and a heart that burns tormentingly with self-disgust and self-loathing. However, all of these are mere sounds and whispers of the coming full-blown trumpet blasts of the wrath of God. They are the warning shots before the battle, the growl before the bite, the alarm before the storm, and the last call for pardon before the raising of the guillotine's sharp blade. For the wrath of God, which is being revealed from heaven, shall be revealed in its full measures when Christ comes riding on a white horse in righteousness, judging and making war. On that great and dreadful day of the Lord, His wrath shall come upon all nations with the fury of fire and sword, and until the blood flows up to the horses' bridles, God Himself shall come down in Christ in wrath. We then tremble with holy fear when we hear John the Baptist preaching in this manner. Luke 3:7, then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" We also tremble in godly fear at these words of the gospel of Christ Jesus in John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And when we hear Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, preaching these things, we tremble. Ephesians 5:5-6, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Oh, dear listener, it is high time to awaken out of your sinful slumber to the doctrine of the wrath of God. Awake, O sleeper! Open your eyes, you who slumber. Do not visit the Grand Canyon and merely take some pictures and say to yourself, "That was a beautiful sunset." Instead, see the depths of the canyon as being small compared to the depths of hell. And remember that the canyon was formed originally when God destroyed every breathing thing on earth by wrath, by a global flood of water, save Noah and his family and all of the creatures aboard the ark. Similarly, do not visit Yellowstone and merely write some poems and say, "Nature is lovely." For although God has built some very gracious signs of the coming kingdom of heaven into the beauty of Yellowstone, He also has made Yellowstone a great geological memorial to the global flood of wrathful waters in Noah's day. Yet even more, Yellowstone being a sleeping giant of a volcano, even a super volcano, complete with its angry geysers and steaming fumaroles, speaks loudly of the coming eruption of God's wrath of fire and brimstone over the whole of this wicked, idolatrous world. The signs of the Lord's anger against the idolatry of men are all present. The heavens and earth are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The coming wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. Do you then, dear listener, have ears to hear these words? Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Isaiah 26:20-21, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the wrath is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain." the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and thus none can claim the excuse of ignorance. On the day of judgment, none shall be able to stand before the great white throne of judgment and say before the Lord, "I did not know. If only I had known." For since the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven, all are without excuse. All are accountable to the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:18-20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. So that they are without excuse. The skeptics and naysayers are all put to silence here. The philosophers and scholars of this age together shall be dumbfounded by the coming declaration of God's wrath by God's own mouth on the coming day of wrath. For God shall pronounce this judgment over their heads: "You are without excuse on account of the revelation of my own eternal power and Godhead through the voice of the created order. You are without excuse. Your unbelief and rebellion against my holy gospel are inexcusable." All of heaven and earth shall bear witness against the wicked on the day of judgment. For the whole of creation declares God's invisible attributes, even His eternal power and Godhead, by the things that are made. Job 38:34-38. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, "Here we are"? Who has put wisdom in the mind? Or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together? And Psalm 8:3-4, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" The prophet David says in Psalm 19:1-2, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." Cannot even a little child look up to the heavens and know that God has placed them there? For the heavens belong to God, and the earth also is His. He has founded the world and all its fullness. It is God who has created the north and the south. And so Solomon says in Proverbs 3:19-20, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. And by His knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew." God's eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen in the created design and order of things. Therefore, the prophet Isaiah asks in Isaiah 40:21-22, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in." The whole of the creation testifies to God's eternal power and Godhead. He has created all things, both cosmically big and microscopically small. The bigness of the big, such as the vast size of a spiral galaxy, tells us of the infinite bigness and power of God. The intricacy of the small, such as the beautiful artistry and function of the tiny alpine forget-me-not flower, tells us of the loving providence of God in caring for us, His tiny creatures. His Godhead is revealed as almighty and all-glorious through the thunder, lightning, and hail. It is also revealed as all-wise and all-compassionate through the quiet steps of a doe and her fawn across a mountain valley in the midst of the softly falling snow. The glory of God, both as Creator and Lord over all, is revealed through the flight of an eagle above a lake on the flat plains. And the magnificent love of God is revealed through the trusting eyes of an infant child wrapped safely in his mother's arms. The wicked, then, are without excuse. For Paul preached to the men in Lystra in this manner, Acts 14:15-17. Men, why are you doing these things? That is, why are you offering sacrifices to us who have performed a miracle as if we were gods? We also are men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Therefore, when the Lord's wrath comes, and evil men say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They shall have no place to hide, for they are without excuse. His eternal power and Godhead have been revealed to them ongoingly throughout their lives, and yet they have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness, not desiring to submit themselves to the obedience of the truth. So then, dear and precious church, you must not be intimidated by the arguments and threats of this wicked, rebellious world, when you bring to unbelievers the message of the gospel of Christ, and they say to you, are you so ignorant of science? Or else, do you not realize that the whole of popular opinion is against you? Or, if God is real, then why doesn't he show himself to the world? Or even, if you continue with this hate speech, I am going to see that you are punished. Do not cower before their foolish arguments. Instead, speaking the truth in love, and thus with your conversation full of grace, seasoned with salt, tell them plainly that they are without excuse. Take away their excuses, for this is what love does when the fire of God's wrath is already kindled and the wicked are just a few breaths away from being cast into it. Remove their excuses by the divine authority of the word of the Lord. Tell them, it is written in the scriptures, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Tell them also, in the same passage it is written, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Tell them these things plainly, in power, in the power and wisdom of the weakness and foolishness of the cross, so that every mouth shall be stopped on the coming day of judgment. For the wicked are indeed accountable to God. And also so that those whose hearts the Lord may open to heed the things of the gospel of Christ may tremble at this glorious gospel and worship God in fear and thanksgiving as part of Christ's glorious inheritance on the day of Christ Jesus. Yet if God's glory is revealed so clearly through the things that have been made, why do men walk in such ignorance of Him? It is because they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They have the truth, but they suppress it. Therefore, the wrath of God hands them over to foolishness of soul and darkness of mind and heart. Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Man is created in the image of God. Male and female, He created them in His own image. Therefore, the knowledge of God has been written on their hearts. Just as Adam begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. And just as it would have been utter foolishness for Seth as a grown man to look into the mirror and yet try to convince himself that he had no actual father and that his face was not formed in the image of Adam, his father. So too is it utter foolishness for created man, having been created in the image of God, to say that he has no creator. For even the law of capital punishment with regard to bloodshed assumes that the image of God in man carries with it an innate knowledge of the holiness of God. Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, He made man. Why then do they walk in darkness? Why are they so ignorant of who God is and what He demands of us? They do not desire the truth. They walk in opposition to the truth and so plunge themselves into darkness. Deuteronomy 28:29, and you shall grope at noonday, as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Why does the fool say in his heart, there is no God? He suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. Why are the hearts of the wicked dull, and their ears heavy, and their eyes shut, so that they neither see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and return and be healed? It is because they knew, although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor were thankful. So God in His judgment has handed them over to the evil of their own self-imposed ignorance, to walk about in darkness of heart and understanding. Isaiah 59:9-10, therefore justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. And John 12:35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And once more, Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." This is the way of unbelievers. Their ignorance is a willful ignorance. They choose darkness instead of light, for their deeds are evil. Away then with today's evolutionary view of knowledge. Away with the thought that man has been getting smarter and smarter throughout history, and that man's knowledge is now reaching some sort of evolutionary peak of brilliance. Instead, man has devolved into darkness. He claims to have come from the ape, and so in his thinking, he has become like an ape. His public schools are steeped in darkness. His public universities are futile and dangerous, since knowledge severed from the fear of the Lord is both dark and deadly. He uses his science to build a new Tower of Babel. He uses his philosophy to attack and murder God's little image bearers who reside in their mother's wombs. His thoughts lead to death. His darkened mind sets him on the pathway that descends into hell and encourages him to walk that pathway with a foolish temerity and a reckless abandon. Therefore, God's wrath against the wicked in hell shall plunge them into everlasting darkness. They shall spend eternity in full futility of thought and mind, for in hell God's wrath shall be revealed to them in its fullness. And in that revelation of wrath, they shall be cast into outer darkness. They shall weep and gnash their teeth, and yet all of their weeping and gnashing of teeth shall not cause their torments to be abated one measure. Their pain shall not be palliated. Their guilty consciences, moment by moment, time upon time, shall scorch and sear their souls. They shall not be able to deny God's existence or His omnipotence any longer, for His wrath shall remain on them inescapably. The truth of the Lord's eternal power and Godhead shall confront them tormentingly forever, and the light of the goodness of God's face shall never once be seen by them, for they denied Him unto death, and thus He shall deny them unto everlasting destruction and impenetrable darkness. Yet for us, the children of God, who by God's Spirit cry, "Abba, Father," there shall be no wrath on the day of wrath. Instead, there shall be peace, everlasting peace in the kingdom of heaven. For the wrath of God, which is revealed from heaven, was appeased, was satisfied on our behalf, when Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, bore it in our stead on the tree. He bore the wrath that we deserved. He carried the cross of our condemnation so that there is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of Christ. For us who believe, there is no longer the darkness of ignorance, but now the bright light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Heaven then shall be all light and no darkness at all to us. For in the kingdom of heaven we shall know God, all of us, from the least of the saints to the greatest. And thus the knowledge of God shall fill the eyes of our hearts with the bright eternal light of our eternally luminous Christ. For in the city of God there shall be no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God shall illuminate it. The Lamb shall be its light, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And thus we shall be with our God and our Christ, the Lamb, forever. And his favor shall rest upon us forever. Grace abounding, praises ever flowing, light ever shining, world without end. So as we now close and come to the Lord's holy table again, we come humbled before the Lamb of God, who bore God's wrath in order to grant to us the forgiveness of our sins. Before we come, here is the doxology. Praise be to God, our Father, whose wrath is revealed from heaven. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come in wrath on the great day of the wrath of the Lamb. And praise be to the Holy Spirit, who testifies within us that we are children of God, and thus gives us confidence that we shall abide in the light of God's glory and peace after his judgments upon the world have been finished. Amen.